Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going to be taking a deep dive into a topic that I think a lot of us can relate to, those times when our faith wavers. We're going to be looking at some really intriguing passages from the Bible that deal with the concept of doubt and how to sort of navigate that.
Interestingly, right? You would think that in a text that's so centered on faith, that it would just be all these examples of just unshakable belief.
Right.
But, the Bible, it doesn't shy away from showing us people who are really wrestling with doubt,
Right.
even some of the most prominent figures.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what makes it so relatable, I think. So to kick things off, let's talk about Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples. There's that very famous story about him walking on water, but then all of a sudden his faith just kind of falters.
In Matthew 14:3-1, we see Peter, filled with this initial confidence, stepping out of the boat, towards Jesus. But then he looks around at the wind and the waves and he starts to sink.
It makes you wonder, like, what was it in that moment that shifted for him? Was it just the sheer force of the storm that made him question, whether walking on water was even possible? Or was it something internal, like a sudden realization of his own limitations, or like a fear of failing?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I think it could be a combination of things.
Yeah.
Perhaps it was a test of faith from Jesus,
Yeah.
a way to show Peter and us that even in those moments of doubt, his grace is still there to catch us.
That's a really interesting perspective. It reminds me of another verse. It's Mark 9:24. And for those who maybe aren't as familiar, this verse comes from a story where there's this desperate father who brings his son, who's possessed by an evil spirit, to Jesus for healing. And he says this very powerful line to Jesus. He pleads with him. He says, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief."
Yes, that internal struggle,
Yeah.
that raw honesty is so powerful. It really highlights this idea that faith isn't always this, constant, unwavering feeling.
Right.
It can ebb and flow, especially when we're faced with difficult circumstances or when we're wrestling with these really, big questions. And what's so crucial is that even in that moment of doubt, this father is still reaching out to Jesus for help.
Yeah, it's like he's acknowledging his struggle, but also reaffirming, his desire to believe. And that is such a human experience, isn't it? Like we want to have faith. But sometimes doubt creeps in and we find ourselves grappling with those two conflicting feelings at the same time.
Absolutely. And the Bible seems to be saying that it's okay to admit those struggles.
Yeah.
In fact, it can be the first step towards strengthening our faith.
That's really interesting. So we've seen how doubt can sort of appear in these unexpected places, even among those who are closest to Jesus. But the Bible doesn't leave us hanging. It also offers guidance on how to deal with these moments of uncertainty. So let's delve into that, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that.
It is comforting to know that the Bible acknowledges, that struggle with doubt, and it even offers guidance on how to move through it. Where do we see that most clearly?
Well, one of the most striking examples, I think, comes from Luke 22:31-32.
Okay.
Here, Jesus is speaking directly to Peter, and, knowing that Peter is about to face this major test of his faith,
Right.
denying Jesus three times.
Oh, right. When he's so afraid that he pretends not to even know him.
Exactly.
Quite a fall from, confidently walking on water.
Right. But even knowing Peter's upcoming failure, Jesus says to him, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers."
Wow. So it's like Jesus is acknowledging the power of doubt, even personifying it as Satan trying to shake their faith. But he's not leaving Peter to fend for himself. He's proactively praying for Peter's strength. That's powerful.
It is. And notice Jesus isn't just praying for Peter to be spared from doubt altogether.
Right.
He's praying for Peter's faith to endure, to come through the struggle intact. And he even gives Peter a mission to
Okay.
support his fellow disciples when they inevitably face their own moments of weakness.
That's a beautiful point. It suggests that even when we stumble, even when our faith feels weak, we can still be a source of strength for others. It's about leaning on each other, recognizing that we're all in this together.
Precisely. And that brings us to another important aspect of navigating doubt, and that's community. Romans 14:1 reminds us to accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters.
It's like a call for understanding and compassion. Instead of judging or, arguing with someone who's struggling, we should offer support and acceptance.
It's recognizing that faith is a personal journey. and everyone is at a different point on that path.
Yeah.
And sometimes the best way to help someone through a period of doubt is simply to be there for them to listen without judgment and to offer encouragement.
So prayer and community, those are two key pillars of support, you know, when doubt arises. But are there other ways that the Bible encourages us to actively strengthen our faith?
Absolutely. Several verses directly address the importance of perseverance.
Okay.
For instance, 1 Corinthians 16:11 urges us to be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong.
I love that imagery. It paints a picture of like actively guarding and defending our faith.
Yeah.
Not passively letting it be eroded by doubt.
Exactly. And Hebrews 10:38-39 draws a very clear distinction between those who shrink back in fear and those who persevere in faith.
Okay.
It states, but my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved.
So it's not just about, you know, passively hoping for the best. Hmm. It's about making a conscious choice to hold on to faith.
Yeah.
Even when it's difficult, even when doubts are swirling around us.
That's a crucial point.
Yeah.
We can't always control the doubts that arise, but we can control how we respond to them. We can choose to cling to faith, to seek support, to persevere, even when it feels like we're walking through a storm.
All this talk about perseverance makes me wonder about the flip side. You know, what happens when doubt takes root and it kind of festers?
Yeah.
Is there a danger in letting it linger too long?
That's a question that leads us into some more cautionary territory.
Yeah.
I think the Bible does warn against the danger of falling away from grace, as described in Galatians 5.4.
And for our listeners who may not be, you know, as familiar with some of those theological terms, could you unpack what falling away from grace means in this context?
Of course. So this verse is addressing a specific concern that was prevalent in the early Christian church.
Okay.
Some people believe that simply following the Jewish law, you know, the rules and rituals, was enough to earn God's favor.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul, the author of Galatians, is arguing that true faith isn't about, you know, legalistic adherence to rules,
right,
but about a personal relationship with Christ based on grace and forgiveness.
Yeah. So falling away from grace means losing sight of that core relationship with Christ.
Right.
Focusing more on outward actions than inward faith.
Exactly. And how does that relate to doubt?
Yeah.
Well, if we let doubt fester and grow, it can create a distance between us and Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a seed of mistrust that, if left untended, can grow into this wall separating us from God's grace.
That's a really helpful image. So while doubt itself isn't necessarily bad,
right,
it's important to address it, you know, to prevent it from becoming a barrier to our faith.
Precisely. And the Bible offers us a wealth of examples to learn from. We've already discussed Peter.
Right.
But there are many others who face their own struggles with doubt.
Yes. It's almost like a recurring theme, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, even beyond Peter walking on water and then denying Jesus.
Right.
There's the story of the disciples, you know, panicking in the storm while Jesus is asleep in the boat.
Mm.
And then there's Thomas, who famously doubted Jesus' resurrection until he could see and touch the wounds for himself.
So many examples.
All right.
It really drives home this point that doubt is this universal human experience.
Yeah.
Even among those who witnessed Jesus' miracles firsthand.
And there's a very comforting message in 2 Timothy 2.32, which reminds us that if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself.
That's such a beautiful and reassuring thought.
It is.
Yeah.
Even when our faith wavers, God's love and faithfulness remain constant.
Exactly. So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, it's clear that the Bible offers this very nuanced perspective on faith and doubt.
Yes.
It acknowledges the reality of our struggles, provides guidance on how to navigate them, and ultimately reminds us that even in our moments of weakness, God's grace is sufficient.
This has been really insightful. We've covered a lot of ground exploring all these different biblical examples and teachings about doubt.
We have.
But I'm curious what stands out to you most from all that we've discussed.
You know what really strikes me is the emphasis on active engagement with our faith.
Okay.
It's not about passively accepting everything we're told or pretending that doubts don't exist. It's about grappling with those doubts, seeking understanding, and ultimately choosing to persevere in our belief.
That's a great point. It's about owning our faith journey, embracing both the moments of certainty and the periods of questioning.
Yeah.
And as we've seen, we don't have to go through this alone. You know, we had the supportive prayer community and ultimately the unwavering faithfulness of God.
Right.
But how do we put all this into practice? How can we actively strengthen our faith in the face of doubt?
Right.
Let's explore that in part 3. So we've explored these fascinating examples of doubt in the Bible and seen how, even back then, people grappled with these same questions. But how do we take those ancient stories and apply them to our lives today? When those doubts creep in, what are some practical things we can do to strengthen our faith?
That's the key question, isn't it? It's one thing to analyze these stories, but the real power comes from applying their wisdom to our own experiences.
Absolutely. So where do we start? What's step one in this process of turning doubt into a source of strength?
Well, I think the first step is shifting our perspective on doubt itself. Instead of viewing it as the enemy of faith, we need to see it as a potential catalyst for growth.
That's an interesting way to look at it. How can doubt actually lead to stronger faith?
Think about it this way. When doubts arise, they force us to dig deeper. We start asking tougher questions, exploring different viewpoints, and ultimately solidifying the foundation of our beliefs.
So it's like those doubts shake things up a bit, making us re-examine what we truly believe and why.
Exactly. It's like testing the strength of a building by putting a little pressure on it. If it can withstand the pressure, it becomes even stronger.
That makes sense. So instead of suppressing our doubts, we should lean into them, explore them, and use them as an opportunity to learn and grow.
Precisely. Embrace the questions, dive into the complexities, and have honest conversations with yourself and others about what you're wrestling with.
And I guess that's where the importance of prayer and community comes in, right? We don't have to go through this alone.
Absolutely. Prayer can be a powerful source of comfort, guidance, and connection to something bigger than ourselves. It's a way to express our doubts, to ask for strength, and to feel that sense of divine presence even when we feel lost.
It's like having a direct line to the source of ultimate wisdom and support.
Yes, exactly. And community plays a vital role too. Sharing our struggles with trusted friends, family, or members of our faith community can provide perspective, encouragement, and that reminder that we're not alone in this journey.
It's like having a team of fellow travelers.
Yeah.
People who understand the terrain and can help us navigate the rough patches.
That's a great way to put it. And let's not forget the importance of perseverance. As we saw in Hebrews 10:38-39, those who persevere in faith are the ones who ultimately find salvation.
So it's about choosing to hold on to faith, even when it feels shaky, even when we're bombarded with doubts and questions.
Yes. It's about remembering that faith is a journey, not a destination. It's a continuous process of learning, growing and deepening our relationship with God. There will be ups and downs, moments of clarity, and periods of uncertainty. But through it all, we choose to keep moving forward, trusting in God's grace to guide and sustain us.
That's a beautiful way to sum it up. So as we wrap up this deep dive into faith and doubt, I want to leave you with this thought. How can you actively strengthen your own faith when doubts inevitably arise? What practices, what resources, what relationships can you lean on to weather those storms and emerge even stronger? Remember, even when our faith wavers, God remains faithful.
And remember, those moments of doubt can actually become opportunities for profound growth and deeper understanding. Embrace the journey, seek support, and keep the faith.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, and we'll see you next time.